Man thing. All right. Let's go.
All right
then. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Coast City Comics Club. I'm Tristan.
And I'm Chad.
Yeah, you are, Chad.
It's me.
Good. That's the level of energy I want you to keep up for this whole thing.
I just had some pre-workout, so I'm ready to do a podcast.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, keep that in.
My skin is tingling.
Keep that right around a 10.5. That's going to be good.
On
I like
the fun
that.
Fun scale. Yes.
Oh, no. Fun scale. So today we're going to be talking about a fairly random comic, as always.
Jesus.
But, but this one, I love this. I love this series. I've been really getting into this, into the Marvel 2-in-1s. And this is just seemingly a random one. I chose it for a couple of reasons. But it's number 43, which is The Thing and the Man-Thing team up, which is the second or third of the Thing-Man-Thing team ups in this series. And but in this one, the Cosmic Cube is very heavily involved. And I wanted to talk about this thing because I don't know what it is. I've been reading Marvel Comics for a long time. I've read a fuck ton of Marvel Comics, and I don't know what a Cosmic Cube is, to be honest. Like, I mean, I've had some of, there's the movie explanation.
Yeah.
And then there's like, but the comics, it's kind of like Project Pegasus put something in a cube and it's really, it can do anything. Sometimes it turns into a person.
I couldn't tell you its origins, to be honest with you. I want to back up for a second. So this 2-in-1 is, it's the Thing and Man Thing. That's the team up.
Yes.
But like Captain America's in like 75% of this thing.
Yes, it is. It's called the Thing and Man Thing, and I don't even think Captain America is mentioned on the cover. He's not. Oh, I mean, in a little sidebar, he's mentioned, and he is on the cover.
This is very much a 3-in-1. I would say.
Yeah, they didn't. That was off brand, so they decided to not do that.
Jim Shooter.
But yes. Yeah. Another thing that's interesting about this, and by interesting I mean probably criminal by today's standards, is that the art in this book is done by John Byrne and friends. You know, some little helpful unpaid interns that did work and got no credit. And the rest, featuring and the rest.
They're buddies. They're friends.
That's kind of a bummer. But I mean, that cover is sweet, but the rest of the art is clearly not 100% John Byrne. There are some moments when you're like, oh, that's pretty John Byrne-y, but like all the action scenes, mm-hmm. people's heads do that like wicked twist back where like they look like their bones are all broken and their arms are going the wrong way. There are some funny, weird little art moments in this book. There are also some cool ones though.
Yeah. It's funny because like this, it's interesting to see how like that kind of takes. Cause like now if there's a Marvel 2-in-1, it's just like, did you find some kid on Facebook to come draw this for us? You know, it's
yeah.
just like,
yeah.
let's give
well, yeah.
You know, and this is like, this looks pretty cool. You know, it looks like that classic Marvel style.
Yeah.
Like, I think it looks pretty awesome. Like, the Man-Thing stuff looks incredible.
Yep.
You know?
I love that.
Nowadays, it just wouldn't look that good if they did something like this.
I agree. I absolutely agree. And it's, there's a lot of that, like, four panels per page kind of stuff. That kind of, like, saving some space, like, economizing going on in here, but there is also a lot. I mean, what we did last time, the Invincible book.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh my God. I mean, when you think about that as basically like the two of them, like weigh the two of them against each other. And it's yeah. like, I mean, the amount of time that each of these pages probably took, you know, that's probably half of that Invincible book. I mean, those lines were just like so simple. so simple comparatively.
I actually felt a little bad. I felt bad for picking it. I felt bad for picking it, to be honest. I was like, what was I thinking? I made a mistake.
I don't know. I remembered really enjoying it at the time, and I think I really enjoyed it when we went back to it, but it was a weird one.
Yeah.
And again, and I mean, this is also a very weird one, but it's like, art-wise, it's great. Plot-wise, it's all over the place. And dialogue-wise, it is sometimes verging on atrocious. This is Ralph Macchio writing this one. There's definitely some, like, what I thought was funny was that not only are there moments that sound like they're directly lifted from a Tick comic, there are panels that look like they're directly lifted from a Tick comic. Every time somebody gets mesmerized by entropy, by the living source of entropy, they get this look on their face that makes them look like the Tick, like this goofy, like overly happy stoned face that gives them like straight up Tick face, and I love it.
Yeah, I think when Cap gets entropied,
yes,
all of a sudden he's like nihilism's dope. I'm in. Fuck yeah, America. I'm all down. I'm in.
And this, so I'm also surprised. One of the main characters in this book is the entropic man. I guess that's how you would say it.
Okay.
And he is pretty cool. I'm shocked that he never got any juice. Like, this seems like a character that someone would pull in later, and it seems like he's just faded out of Marvel entirely.
The guy, the cloak guy?
Yeah.
Okay.
So the story with cloak guy, essentially, earlier on in this, so in Giant-Sized Man Thing, there's no jokes for that, unfortunately. Nobody has ever thought of a single joke based on the Giant-Sized Man Thing comic.
Yep. And Giant Dick Comics. That's where
Giant Dick Comics.
Yes.
Victor Conrad, who is the character known as Victorious in this book, he has the cosmic cube, and there's this cult called the Cult of Entropy, and somebody six Glob on Man-Thing. Man-Thing sends Glob away, and for some reason he attacks the leader of this cult and just dissolves him down to nothing but bones. His bones are sitting there on a rock, basically, like, bleaching out in the sun.
No one picked them up.
And this ding-dong with magical powers from the cosmic cube, again, not really sure what the deal is, but cosmic cube obviously can do anything, and so he turns the bones of this cult leader into the entropic man, who is basically the epitome of all things entropy. So there's a lot of problems with this concept. Just, you know, entropy exists no matter what you do. It's,
yeah,
like, just leave them alone. They'll be dust eventually. You're just taking a very short-sighted view of this thing. But also there's the idea when they first encounter any cult members that they're like, we're going to transform these people into cult members. And it's like, okay. And then they dissolve them into dust instantly. Your cult is not going to grow.
I really enjoyed that couple, though.
This is the worst pyramid scheme I've ever seen in my life. But, yeah. So just I did like them.
That random, like, couple that looks like they're straight from a porn. And they're just... And they're just like on the rocks, and all of a sudden, like, the avatar of entropy appears, and then their first thought is, oh no, did the folks at the office figure out we're fooling around? It's like a fucking embodiment of an idea just showed up, and it's like, hey, how's it going? And they're like, did Steve tip you off?
Are you from the office?
Yeah.
Their office is scary as fuck.
It's like, yeah, Steve from accounting called up Entropy and said, Julian Sean concept are on the rock making out. Could you do something about it?
I also love when he's giving his big backstory, they do that thing where they're like, hold on, let him tell his backstory. He might tell us something that we need, which is fucking hilarious. But he also, like, there's this one panel of him, and he's like looking through books, and one of them is called Entropic Fate. And it's in the half-priced book bin. They took the time to make sure that you knew that he wasn't paying full price for this book on entropy that he's reading.
It's Entropic Thunder. Everybody knows the
God,
starring Hulk Hogan.
Jude. His name is Jude the Entropic Man. And now, I love his design, and I wish he went someplace. Like, I like the weird face. And the weird cloak and all that shit. He looks awesome. I don't know. It seems weird that he's not all over the place.
It was cool. I was actually very interested in Victorious, who is, for anyone who doesn't know, because I didn't know anything. He's a scientist. He is yet another person trying to recreate the super soldier serum. He gets caught in an explosion, but he also gets the super soldier serum. He's old, but he gets really muscular.
He drinks the super serum, the super soldier serum, just before the place explodes, right?
Convenient.
Something along those lines.
Yes.
Okay.
But, like, also, his hair doesn't grow back, so he's got the skullet.
Yep.
Going.
It's a good look.
And then he immediately goes, I'm going to dress like He-Man. Like, off the bat.
Okay. His outfit is awesome. He's got the candy dots on the suspenders. But he looks like Sean Connery in Zardoz.
Yeah, that's it.
It's like he's literally based on the Sean Connery Zardoz look. It's pretty hilarious.
Oh, it's outrageous. Yeah, and but then you find out also that Man-Thing was another person who had the super soldier serum. They mentioned that real quick. And so we got three people in this story that have super soldier serum in them.
Yeah, that makes the Thing kind of a third wheel in this situation.
He's a cosmic entity. How dare you? How dare you reduct him?
I'm just saying that. So that's another big plot point of this whole thing, is that somehow by touching him, he has a cloak kind of thing, like a cloak and dagger kind of deal, where he kind of absorbs people into his cloak.
Yeah, it's called Easy to Draw in Ink.
Yeah, that's sure what that is. That is very, very easy.
Like, you draw like lines on a face and the rest of it's just this jagged outline of a cloak. You could bang those pages out real fast, pal.
I agree. But also, they did choose to give him a very distinctive face. He has an interesting blue, wrinkly, weird face that I think, I think it's a character that could stand. Like, and I think it's surprising that he isn't in anything.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that one's kind of like it probably could come back, and maybe it did come back, but he is a little overpowered.
True.
Too, where it's like there didn't seem to be a limit on who he could just turn to dust.
That's a good point. That is always a big problem with these sorts of things. And I mean, therein lies the problem with the Cosmic Cube, obviously. It is that it is infinitely powerful. It can literally do anything. And that's basically, they designed this thing to be able to do anything, that could grant wishes, I think is how they said it originally when they created the Cosmic Cube.
Yeah, actually, I find most Cosmic Cube stories actually end up being Captain America stories.
Yes.
Which is kind of funny, because I remember one in particular was when the Red Skull got it, and he just kept going back and resetting history.
Yeah.
Just over and over and over again. And no matter what he did, Steve Rogers found a way to rise up, start a rebellion, and try and kill him.
Yep.
And the Red Skull was like, God damn it, what do I got to do to get rid of this guy? And big surprise in the end, Cap won. But
yeah, I mean, I remember, like, you had to explain this to me at one point, because I literally was, I still am. I went on Wikipedia. I've done all sorts of research tonight just while I was sitting around. And I'm like, I honestly can't figure out what the deal with this thing is. Like, what are its origins? The Project Pegasus thing is kind of just random. It's just where it came from. It's not like in the movies, it's it's a an Infinity Stone inside a box, basically.
Right.
But in the Marvel comic universe, it's its own thing. It's basically an invention that like that stores some sort of power, but I don't know what the power is.
I mean, it's a wish box.
I mean, yeah, that's it. It's a plot device, I guess.
Yeah. You want crazy stuff to happen? Throw a cosmic cube in.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it doesn't last forever. Like, it can be broken.
Right. And there are multiples of them. Like, there are always different cosmic cubes because at the end of this story, it's depowered after it does what it does. And then it's like, well, now it's not glowing anymore. So it's probably useless. And the thing's like, you should probably just throw that in the swamp. And he's like, maybe bring it back to the science guys.
And then he just said, whatever. I'm just an ever loving blue eyed lunk. I don't care. Let's go drink steak and let's go have go get steak and a coffee.
Which God, my colon.
I've never heard anyone say that as a combination of a food and a drink. Of steak, let's go get a steak and a coffee. And then for the Thing to say that, and then for Captain America to go, yeah, buddy, you read my mind.
That's what happens when you have super-powered digestive systems.
No, you're one's like, done that.
I don't care. I don't care what I'm eating. Doesn't matter.
It just doesn't make sense.
My guts are made of rocks.
It just doesn't make sense.
It does not. It's disgusting.
You wouldn't have those together.
It is straight up disgusting. I love that Cap and Thing kind of have this, like, we're both totally from the 50s like thing going with them, like the two of them really really jive on the old timey New York crap, which is
they love it
because they're the two old men of the Marvel universe.
Yeah, except one's a big pile of rocks.
Sure. I mean, if you're gonna
I'll be literal for a second, but Cap is older, though.
Yeah, I know.
Right?
Well, Cap is older.
Yeah.
But they still portray Ben as though he is from the time that he was when he was being drawn in the 60s. Like,
okay.
For eternity, he's still acting like a dead-end kid. He's like, he's got, like, Bowery Boys in his neighborhood.
Yes,
as though
he does.
As though, you know, it was the 20s when he was growing up.
He's got the cast of Newsies running around constantly.
Right, exactly. And they never changed that. And it's kind of annoying. I mean, it's very strange. It's like his neighborhood is frozen in time.
Yeah, I don't know how they expect, like, new people to constantly relate to that, too.
Yeah. It's that thing where you never, if you have something so special, you're afraid to change it too much, and I can see why they'd be weird about it. But it's not the Bowery anymore. Like, you can't just constantly have these like expressions from the 40s and 50s.
Yeah,
but he seems to continue to do it, and I think that's why the Fantastic Four is fading from people's radar as
Guys,
far as the series goes.
Let's go kick the Thing's ass. Let's go do it.
But it is funny. I mean, when the X-Men came back, when they were like, here, we've got the rights to the X-Men back. Everything's going to be great again. We're going to fix everything. It was like, okay, cool. We've got the Fantastic Four back. What are we going to do? Make another Fantastic Four thing that nobody really cares about. All right, cool. And they did it. I mean, they sent Hickman out to do X-Men, and he fixed everything. And then they sent Slott over to FF, and they were like, what if somebody made the Fantastic Four in space? And it wasn't actually cosmic rays.
Don't.
Well, that would suck.
It would suck.
That would suck.
It wasn't great. It wasn't great. I felt, because I was excited too, because I've been a Slott defender.
Yes.
All through Spider-Man. No matter how much people complained, I was like, no. Slott is a great Spider-Man writer. I will stand by that till the day I die.
And he is. And he was. And he always will be.
And then I was like, Yeah.
Spider-Man is great.
A Fantastic Four and Slott. He's got like this crazy sci-fi mentality, you know, like,
yeah.
You know, his Silver Surfer was amazing. Why shouldn't this be great?
Yeah.
And it just, never clicked.
Yeah. It's not great. And it's funny though, because it's like, I just got done saying that, you know, you got to change some of this stuff because it's so dated. And then it's like, how dare you change any part of the Fantastic Four's origin story? That's stupid and I hate it and I'm angry. So even I'm not immune to that mindset.
Yeah, we talked about this before, though, where it was like when I mentioned the Straczynski Spider-Man thing, where it was just like the spider gave him his powers.
Yes.
But it was still an irradiated spider that gave him his powers. You know, like there was that other, and I think I said, if I remember correctly what I said, because I thought I nailed it when I talked about it, was that it's different when you just look at the other side of the coin.
Yes.
You don't pull in a completely different coin.
Right.
And that's what they did with the Fantastic Four story, where instead of them getting their powers because the smartest man on the planet screwed up, it's Reed didn't screw up. It was literally as someone from across the cosmos who shot them with cosmic rays and Reed's off the hook.
Yeah. Which, I mean, and that's the chocolate milk, you know, for the Spider-Man story. That's that whole thing where you're like, it just a little change and you just fucked up bad.
Yeah.
Like, and I mean that Spider-Man story when they changed it to the chocolate milk thing, it was like, oh, fuck you.
Oh, in the movie?
In the Amazing Spider-Man movie.
God, he was such a prick in that movie.
Such a prick.
I love that movie too, like right at the end, like right after Captain Stacy's like, hey, I know you're Spider-Man, I'm dying. Honor a dying man's wish and don't date my daughter. Keep her out of this. And then they cut to the scene in school and she's just like, hey, want to go make out? And then he like does like the wink to the camera. And it's like, you fucking asshole. Just like,
nobody's gonna know.
You were there when her dad died. Like, you know what he said.
God, that movie.
I didn't even see the second one of that. I boycotted it.
I did. It was okay.
Was it?
Yeah, it was all right.
Yeah.
It was better than the first one, but it still wasn't very good.
But if you ever want to do a podcast and we watch all the Spider-Man movies, I'd be more than happy to do that.
Oh, can I do it? I've seen part three once. I don't know if I can do it a second time.
Yeah, I remember you and I watched that in the store.
Oh, like, yeah, that's right.
We're like, maybe it's not as bad as we thought it was. And then we watched it again and we were like, sweet Jesus. Like, this movie is not good.
Yeah, that was Sam Raimi mad at Marvel and being like, oh, yeah? Well, then take this.
Yeah.
Hey, fuck you. All right, so let's talk about this. Let's talk about this comic.
Let's talk two
craziness.
And one. Let's talk two let's and talk one.
Two and one. Two in one. So, all right. Starts with the cult. You know, he's like, blah, blah, blah. I've got a cosmic cube. I'm going to destroy everything. And then he's like, he does that thing where he's like, wait, would you like me to stop before I destroy you all and tell you my tragic origin story? Mm-hmm. And Cap holds him up and he's like, his kind always does tell something of benefit to us. As long as you let him monologue, just let him talk. And so he tells his whole origin story, which is as we said it. But then from kind of out of nowhere, it's like, okay, sure, you're a scientist. And then literally the next panel, he's punching Kazar and he is dressed like a He-Man figure. So I feel like they left out a few steps between AIM scientist and dressed as He-Man. But, you know.
Yeah, because he got juiced up and then he went time to dress the part.
Yeah. I mean, he was buff as fuck.
He was like, so hell yeah.
He creates entropy. Jude, the entropic man.
Yes.
Melts a couple of weirdos who are just making out on the beach and then are on a rock in the swamp. In the swamp, of course.
On a rock in the swamp, the most uncomfortable place. Just outside the office.
Yes. And so Captain America is here for one reason or another, and they decide that they're going to have it out mano a mano because they both have the super soldier serum and they're both expert hand-to-hand fighters. This is a time to prove who is the best. And so they each monologue at each other, and every time one of them says something stupid, they get punched in the face. Cool. Like they stop to Hulk Hogan for a minute, and then they get punched.
Hold on.
The Thing is clearly sitting this one out for some reason. We don't really know. Like, he's just letting the two of them fight because he's some sort of honor thing, whatever.
He got blasted.
By what?
The Cosmic Cube.
Oh, is that what that was?
Yeah, he went to go clobber him, and then he blasted him with the Cosmic Cube. And then after he blasted the Thing, and then that was when Captain America was like, oh, fuck, I got to get him to drop that thing. And he was just like, I bet you can't beat me without your cube.
And that's right. And that's right. I love that, like, this is a team up between the Thing and Man-Thing when basically Man-Thing wanders in like a dog. Like, he just sort of like, hey, oh, there's a weird little shiny cube over there. And so while they're fighting, he's like, neat. Just kind of slowly meanders over, grabs the cube, picks it up, and he's like, what the fuck is this? And the narrator makes fun of him the whole time. He's like, even though this grotesque Ted Salas, this grotesque mockery of a man, doesn't know what this is because he's so stupid and slimy and gross, and his face looks like a Wang. What's up, Wang face? You don't even know what a cosmic cube is because you're so dumb. And he's just like looking at it, whatever. And he kind of wanders off with it in the middle of the fight, which I love.
Yeah. And then it breaks, right?
No, he grabs it and they try to get it back from him, essentially.
Right.
Like they're all fighting for it. And so they finally notice that the Man Thing is holding onto the cube, and then the Victorious, that dude, he's like, well, shit, I need to get this back from this muck-encrusted mockery of a man. This giant-sized man thing. And so he grabs hold of him, but for an instant, he knows fear, which is a big fuck-up, because whatever knows fear, as you may or may not know, burns at the touch of Man Thing. And so he burns like a motherfucker.
I like that it says that you burn at the touch of Man Thing because Man Thing doesn't like fear. It annoys him.
Yes.
And that's why he sets you on fire.
This is, of all the things that confuse me about this character, I think that is number one. Like all of the Marvel things, I mean, I know that they're all supposed to be just kind of vague notions, and I'm trying to get too much out of them. I think Man Thing's ability there is so vague because no one has ever really defined it. It feels like every time a writer gets a hold of the character, he's just like, one time someone who touches him, their hand burns, and so they have to take it away. Sometimes they literally catch fire. Like the whole body just bursts, like spontaneous combustion bursts into flames.
Mm-hmm. Barbecues them.
And right, which is what happens in this case. He basically, like, full on, you know, we get a panel where it's just like the entire thing lights up with just yellows and oranges, and it's just him straight up on fire.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's any explanation as to why he sets people on fire, how he sets people on fire, or any of that. It's just this idea.
It's because he doesn't like it.
Because that's actually said a lot in Man-Thing comics, that it is because he's drawn to people who are afraid, and so he follows them, and so he'll like literally pursue fear because it's like it's bothering him in the back of his head.
Okay.
Like,
because so it's an annoyance.
It's an annoyance. And back then, Man-Thing was written as being completely non-sentient, where Ted Salas is completely gone, which they say that a bunch of times, that like there are a few times that he's been melted down, reformed, and now sort of like Swamp Thing and Holland, where they're not really the same person anymore.
Yeah.
But like Swamp Thing tends to have, you know, he can talk, he can do all of those things. Man-Thing can't talk. He's completely mute, and he's just a monster, basically. He's more like the Heap than he is like Swamp Thing. Mm-hmm. He's just kind of a thing. And then, but at the same time, he is also the nexus of all reality, which is a kind of a weird thing to be as a pile of goo. And that is kind of established by, because Steve Gerber was big in the man thing. He had the big old man thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I heard. The Howard the Duck stories involved Man Thing being a teleportation device, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
Because he either lived in the Nexus and became part of it, or he was the guardian of the Nexus. They say all of those sorts of things. Depending on who's writing it, he's either guarding a portal, or he himself is the portal. Because later on, when the Avengers needed... actually, it wasn't the Avengers that first did it. It was Thunderbolts, right?
Yeah, that Thunderbolt series of Man Thing is sick. It's so good.
That is, and that was when they first did the concept of the Groot concept with him, where everyone's standing around and they're like, well, you know, this dum-dum isn't going to do anything. He's just a dumb piece of shit. And then Satanica or Satana, one of those evil...
I think it's Satana, magic, yeah.
It was Satana. I think she was like, You don't understand him? God, you guys are fucking dumb. This is literally the most amazing creature in the entire world. He, you know, he's speaking volumes and you can't hear him because you're such low life forms. And I always thought that was a really fun concept, that he's a much higher level being. And so you can't understand what he's like a Cthulhu, where you can't. Your brain can't process him.
That was when they introduced the idea that if you did hear him speak, he would speak to you. No matter what he said, it would come across to you in a way that you would understand.
Yeah.
Like, yep. So like if you were had like a Cockney accent or something like that, he would talk to you in a Cockney accent.
That's right. That was that was Warren Ellis, right?
Yeah. I think that was in Thunderbolts too, though.
Okay.
Because there's like that weird panel where someone says something to him and he just looks up and he goes, "Sup."
That's right. And then currently his current status in Marvel is, I don't know if that's still going. I think that arc has ended, but he was Boy Thing, right?
Yeah, he was on Blade's shoulder for a while, wasn't
he? Yeah, because he basically he got chopped down into a tiny version of himself, and he became kind of like a little teleporter for Blade that sat on his shoulder.
And it was like a little. He had a crush on Black Widow.
Yes, he had a crush on Black Widow, and he was like a little. He was like a cowl for Blade, basically.
Yes.
Very hilarious.
So
which
much
I think
fun.
Is a great concept. That Avengers run is underrated. I really like the Jason Aaron run.
Yeah,
it's too fun for most people. I think
it's flying under the radar for sure.
Most people wanted a more serious story, and he's approaching Avengers it feels almost like Ultimatum, only without killing everybody. Like,
you know, it kind of reminds me of Morrison's Justice League.
Yeah. I'll give you that too. But it's like, it's much like everything is huge. Everything is way bigger than you're used to with an Avengers story. And I think that's, it's fun for a while, but I definitely don't want to see the Avengers turn into the Justice League.
Yeah.
I don't want everything to be Celestials and all of definitely he's entering into a Dragon Ball Z problem at the end of his run at this point, where he was like, he has supercharged so many characters, and currently the run is that Moon Knight has beaten up every Avenger and stolen Mjolnir and all these other things, and he's now like Khonshu is this like super god, which, you know, is another fun concept, but again, we're really just talking about massive power escalation that makes it very difficult to come back from.
Yeah,
you know, and tell a story where Iron Man stops a robbery, you know. That's a tough way, tough thing to get out of.
Yeah, things are gonna get real boring again at some point. That'll be.
Yeah, I don't know. I never know how to deal with that. Like, I never know how people manage to. I think Marvel's answer usually is to just stop, to just be like, okay, well then we're resetting the team and we're gonna have a whole new set of concepts, and like refreshing the team will refresh the idea, and then a new, you know, new creative team and new actual superhero team as well. Yeah, I don't know. But so the end of this thing, after Entropy sucks up Ben Grimm and removes his rocks, and he comes out looking just fucking jacked.
Hold up on that. Okay. Because okay. this is like a wicked Harry Potter book 7 type situation. Okay. And I bring that up knowing that J.K. Rowling has revealed herself to be a monster lately. Okay. I get that. Believe me, my kids are reading the books right now. It tears me up every single time where I'm just like, ah!
Oh, whatever. You already bought the books. Who gives a shit? You're not giving her any more money.
I got them from the library, sir.
Oh, yeah. You socialist bastard.
That's me. That's so this guy, the Entropy, Ben Grimm, Entropy almost nabs Captain America, almost kills him. And then Ben Grimm just yanks him out, like hawks him into the swamp. And then he goes up to Entropy and is just like, hey, I'm a guy from Brooklyn. You know, and then Entropy just swallows him whole. And from what we've already seen from the, you know, Jack and Susan who were banging on the rock, Entropy just turns people to dust.
Yes.
But instead, he comes out as regular Ben Grimm.
Yep.
Very similar to when, spoiler, Voldemort shoots Harry Potter with the death curse. But he kills the Horcrux inside Harry.
Yes.
Like, he gets that free, wait, he gets way that to get, spoil, out of, get out of jail
way
free
to
card.
Spoil this. Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Yeah, it was very nice of him to give him that get out of jail free card.
How did? Side note, how did Voldemort not know that was going to happen? He did it.
Oh, Chad.
Whatever. So anyway, Ben gets a freebie,
yes.
Essentially. So that Ben gets a freebie. Makes me wonder, is the Thing and Ben Grimm two different people?
Ooh. I was thinking that it pointed to some sort of weird thing with like a temporal thing as well. Because if essentially you're speeding up Entropy, if you're just, that's essentially a time concept. Like, over time, things decay.
Yep.
You're seeing these people turn to dust because essentially you've moved them forward 1,000 years in time or whatever.
Yeah.
Moving Ben 1,000 years forward in time turned him into a human somehow.
Okay.
Because so I don't know.
The same thing happens to Man-Thing where he almost goes back to being human too.
Yeah. So I don't know. I guess all things return to being human?
Didn't they do that story in the Fantastic Four where like Ben Grimm was like super fucking old?
I don't know.
I feel like they did.
They must have. I mean, that's always a concept. That's always the concept, is that these like these cosmic cursed figures will live a horrible, horrible eternal life because nothing can kill them. There's that sad Hulk story where he's like the end Hulk story. Where he's just like he's just growing mushrooms on an asteroid for eternity. He's like, his body is just like infested with like space parasites
and cockroaches.
And they're just growing out of
like
his
that.
Shoulders.
Yeah.
He's just like hunched over and he's like, well, I guess this is eternity. Well, everything else has been destroyed and he's just still out there floating.
Nothing left to smash.
Nothing left to smash. God, what a sad story. But at the end of this thing, you've got these two who have somehow been turned into crystal by the cosmic cube.
Yeah.
Why?
So Victorious and Entropy, when Victorious was getting burned by the Man Thing because he showed fear.
Yes.
Then Entropy grabbed him because Entropy was like, this isn't the right time for me to be here because people still want to be alive. Because that's all it took to really shut them down. Because because the thing was like, yeah, life sucks, but I like being alive better than being dead. And then Entropy was like, oh, yeah. Okay, well, I guess it's time for me to check out. I'm going to go turn myself into a crystal with this guy. And then they're stuck there. And then it irradiates all the trees.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they and it revert, like, essentially the idea is that whatever it is has reversed entropy and it's causing things to grow now as opposed to decay. So
why?
For whatever reason, I get, come on.
Okay.
This comic came out after like 2 weeks of work. Come on.
Yeah.
They didn't put too much thought into it, but
so many drugs.
But yeah, the last moment after Man-Thing shows up and he's like, sadly, he congeals out of a pile of goo, which is always adorable. And he comes over to look at the rock and he puts his hand near it and his hand turns human again. And there's this sad little thing at the end where it's like, if only he had a brain and he could think, then maybe he would know to stay near it. Again, the narrator fucking hates Man-Thing here. He's like, if this guy wasn't such a brainless turd, he'd maybe stand near the crystal and become a person again. Instead, he's just going to be a stupid, crappy plant in the middle of the swamp. Dumb. Yeah, but it is. It's really sad. It's a sad little moment of like, oh. Also, the panel of his hand turning back really mostly looks like he's holding a human hand.
Yeah.
It doesn't really look like, it looks like he's got a severed hand.
Yeah.
Which is less adorable. But I don't know. I love, one of the things I've loved about the character, and as he's even portrayed in this one, even this kind of like throwaway one, I love that when they do a close up on him, that nexus of all realities thing is portrayed through his eyes. So you can
see all of
the universes in his gigantic, big, weird red saucer eyes. It's so cool. I love his design as much as he is very clearly a terrible low budget Swamp Thing ripoff. I mean, there's a lot of contention about that legally, about who ripped off who, but it's pretty clear that Swamp Thing came first. I mean, they were roommates, the people who, like, so I don't know. The two writers were roommates at the time, and Swamp Thing came out 2 months before.
I would love to be the lawyers for that.
Well, I mean, okay, I'm probably going to get this wrong, but... Okay. Is the story as I have heard it is essentially that DC was like, finally, this was like one of the last straws for them. They were like, okay, no, you cannot do this. This is so clearly just, this is illegal. We're going to sue the crap out of you. And so they lawyered up and they started getting ready to sue over Swamp Thing, over the likeness to Swamp Thing. And then the guy that created the heap was like, wait, you're suing over what? And there's money to be made over these characters? I'd like some money. And they went, what? No, all swamp creatures are the same. It's fine. Bye. Because they were afraid that the heap was going to take Swamp Thing away. Because if they set a precedent by suing Marvel, then the dude that created the heap was going to go, well, then I'm suing DC. And I would like to have all of your Swamp Thing money.
Yeah.
And so they decided to not do that. And now the heap is in the public domain. So.
So it's a real, real manic mailman, Mr. Zip type situation.
It really is. yes. Thank God the entire world is so versed in Simpsons quotes that's going to probably play.
It's going to land.
At least 50% of people are going to grab that reference. but no, it really is. And it's very strange. But I mean, seriously, it's a guy with chemicals, you know, that they have some sort of amazing serum that's going to save lives. Sabotage sets fire to the lab, falls into the swamp. Like it is the same origin story. It is very similar. So, you know, but again, the character itself is so different. I think it's okay.
Mm-hmm. I would still enjoy that court case though.
Oh,
Your Honor, we believe their swamp creature has ripped off our swamp creature. Your Honor, may I present Exhibit A, Man-Thing. Man-Thing, not Swamp Thing.
Where is this man from, may I ask? Is he from perhaps a swamp? So would he not be better discussed as a Swamp Thing?
I object.
Counselor?
On what grounds?
Yeah.
It makes us look very bad if we answer that question. That's why I would like to object.
Very true. But like I said, I'm glad that he's around and I love his little mustache. And I had at one point talked to one of our friends, Ben Aslan, who is an amazing sculptor. And we were discussing the idea of installing a full-sized, like, 7-foot-tall Man-Thing sculpture in the store.
Oh, wow.
And, like, what that would actually entail. Like, big-ass light-up red eyes in the entryway. Yeah. And we went pretty far down the road as to, like, how much it would cost to buy the armature and do all the sculpting and painting and everything. And it would have been pricey, but it would have been kind of amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, I can only imagine that would have been astronomical.
Yeah. And also it's a lot of work for a character that nobody likes.
Yeah.
I hate to say that nobody's favorite character is Man-Thing, but I think that's fair to say.
I thought it was yours.
No, he is not my favorite character.
That's right, it's Frog Thor. I forgot.
Yes, it is. It is Frog Thor. Of course it is.
For those of you who couldn't hear that, he almost spit his drink out when I said that.
Yes.
That reminds me of when we got the... Remember when we had the mailbox? And we were going to... we were gonna paint it to look like Plastic Man?
Oh, that's right.
And then the mailman showed up and was like, where'd you get that, buddy? Like within the hour, like the government showed up and were like, we're taking this mailbox.
The Postmaster General showed up at our door and was like, hi, I'm the Postmaster General. These are two of my associates. Hi. Where'd you find the mailbox? In a snowbank? It was painted pink. Okay, we're just going to take it away and we're not going to take you to federal court. But, just remember that mailboxes are federal property and maybe don't put them in your store. Okay, sir. Sorry.
Sorry.
I'm bad at being a human in society. Sorry. But imagine how cool it would have looked if we'd painted it like Plastic Man.
I know. And then they showed up being like...
Oh, that would have been awful. Although, somebody later, like, 1,000 years down the road, because those were all being hauled off to like a giant, there's like a massive warehouse where like all dumb government shit, they just warehouse them because they can't destroy them. They need to fill out proper paperwork or some crazy crap. So they will live in a warehouse
in there somewhere.
And there would just be one of them that is a Plastic Man in the middle of this whole thing because they'd never repaint it. Well, I mean, now there's a hot pink mailbox in the middle of that warehouse, in the middle of that Indiana Jones style warehouse full of mailboxes, just one pink one right in the middle. It's just waiting for like some sort of motivational poster about being different for just somebody to take a beautiful photo of that and just sell a shit ton of posters to first year college students.
That would be fantastic.
It would be. That would make it all worthwhile. The terror of thinking that I might be going to prison for putting a mailbox in my store and all the rest of it.
For using it to store your bags and boards.
Yes. Yeah, that's what was... I was trying
to... Not our first run-in with the law, guys. Not our first one.
Our first run-in with the law was that lady who brought her thug in because we were using the wrong trash can. Oh, that was the best. So I have to tell the story now because it's so good. So we had a giant flood. Our landlord, who I will not name for legal reasons, not our current one, who is awesome. Our current landlord is the best, and we love him to death. But our previous landlord maybe might not have been awesome. You know, I'm not going to put myself in any legal trouble here. But we had a bunch of floods. Allegedly not great. And we had a massive flood that destroyed a crap ton of our stuff. We had to take all of our bins outside, and we were just like, all right, fine. Landlord, just take this stuff away because now it's destroyed. So please have your guys take it. And of course, it sat on the sidewalk forever. We thought that they had eventually come and taken it. Turns out that it was the city that took it. And then we moved down the street to another location after this because of his, you know, doing that to us. Mm-hmm. And we had a little trash can that was like maybe, I don't know, 10 inches tall, little tiny trash can that we threw crumpled receipts into or whatever. And so we would take that and dump it into the trash can on the street out front. You know, not like a ton of garbage or anything, just like this little tiny thing. And mm-hmm. we had a visit from this woman who worked for the city, who was the trash person. And I think it was in relation to this previous thing. That's why I brought it up. I don't think it was our little tiny receipts, but that's what we thought at the time. She shows up in our store with a legitimate goon. She worked in trash and she brought a fucking goon. This dude was like 265 jacked, no sleeves, and a worker's like reflective fluorescent vest. Yep. But like arms crossed like a bouncer, like Henry Rollinsing front of the stage kind of look, and just huge, standing behind her while she yelled at us for not using the right trash. And we eventually tried to explain it away, and she was like, yeah, and left. But like, I thought she was going to have her guy beat us up.
I remember that. I was actually there for that as well. And I can back up that this man was a legitimate goon. I remember he came up and he was upset that there was trash in the trash can. I remember he brought up that point because he was like, sometimes, and I remember this is one of his points, sometimes birds get in the trash. And I said, yeah, they're everywhere. Of course they get into the trash. If people throw any type of food into the trash can, regardless of what we throw in there, a seagull is going to go in there, or a homeless person's going to dig through there looking for bottles.
Yep.
That's what happens in the city of Portland. You know, and we were just like, yeah, what are you talking about? Of course that happens. And then she was just like, well, you're not supposed to throw cans in there. And I was like, of course not. They're supposed to be recycled. That's why we put them on top so homeless people can grab them.
Yes.
And then she was
so they don't have to dig through the trash if they're looking for bottles. Yeah.
Right. We're like, we're actually saving you. And he's, and then, she just kept getting madder and madder. She's like, well, you're not supposed to use those trash cans. And I remember I looked at you and I was like, we both live in this town. Like, we are residents of the city of Portland. What difference does it make if I'm walking down the street, empty my pockets into the trash can, or if I take a crumple of paper from inside the store and put it into that trash can? It makes zero difference.
Yeah, she was super mad. And she was super crazy, allegedly.
She got fired, though, didn't she?
But she did get fired, and that's not allegedly.
Allegedly, she was fired for being crazy.
Allegedly, she was fired, let's say. Yeah, we'll cover our bases on all of this, but yeah.
For this alleged incident. Oh, my God.
Hilarious.
And I may have allegedly put up a sign in the store that may allegedly still be up there that says, don't put any type of trash, no matter what it is, in the outside trash can, or a crazy lady from the city will come down and yell at us.
Yeah, that sign is still stuck to the wall and has been there for 8 years now. So I'm very happy.
You're welcome.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And speaking of things from our previous conversation, I just talked to Bill Duggan from Videoport. And he's got a bunch of files of really nice, crisp VideoPort logos, and he's going to send them to me and let me make VideoPort shirts.
And Fresh Market Pasta t-shirts. So we'll
next is going to be Fresh Market Pasta. Well, CD Exchange is on the list. Yeah. I mean, honestly, Bad Habits is number one, but mm-hmm. I don't know how to get a hold of those guys. You know, Kim comes into the store. I might do a Phantom Kitty shirt. I don't know.
Oh, wow, yeah.
I think it'd be fun. Yeah. I love that idea. I love the idea of like Lost Portland artifact shirts. I think it'd be super fun.
I think that would be fun.
Anyway, so that's the story. That's our meandering conversation about nothing. It's been a while, so, you know, whatever. Yeah. I'm glad to talk to you, Chad.
We missed a week.
We did. We skipped a week, so we're out of practice.
Yeah. I got a bike. So
God, you really did. You pulled that bike straight out of a Starsky and Hutch episode.
I got it for $20.
It's pretty sweet.
On Facebook Marketplace. I am in the process of fixing it up right now.
It looks pretty awesome, honestly. I do love it.
It's pretty. I gotta change the handlebars on it, but yeah, besides you do. That, they're yeah, like those weird are... cruiser handlebars, and I'm not into it.
I do love that it's got those like springy, like the springy seat from the 70s.
Oh, yeah, that thing's great, but if you touch it, you can actually hear the old foam like crumple.
Oh, it's like
on the inside.
Yeah, so, you may yeah, want to fix that.
Unfortunately, I got to change the seat too, but everything else on it, I should be able to polish it. Actually, here's a tip for you guys. If you got rusted chrome, take tin foil, crush it up into a ball and wet it, and then just scrub the chrome down and it gets the rust off.
Hmm. I've never tried that before. I've always used emery cloth, but yeah.
Yeah, I don't have any emery cloth right now, but that was what I looked up, being like, well, what else can I use so I don't have to go make a trip somewhere? And, nice. Yeah, tinfoil. I did it. My girls were amazed. They were like, what? Get out of here.
It's like a magic trick.
It really was. That's awesome. It was kind of cool. So there's my bike tip.
Good. As long as we get some bike tips this week. Yeah. awesome, Chad. All right. Well, we will see you next week, and you can follow us at Coast City Comics Club on Instagram and at Coast City Comics on Instagram, and buy stuff from us at CoastCityComics.com because I need your support to keep doing dumb podcasts like this and other things like that. So
you should buy Rad Wraith number 2.
You should also buy Rad Wraith number 2. It is out
and
now.
And the skateboard and the new shirt and the skateboard. Yes.
Oh, and Barf Comics new shirt for us, which is so cool.
Yeah.
I'm so happy I got that.
Man. Very, very cool.
Oh, James Callahan is the goddamn best. Awesome. So thank you guys so much, and we will see you next week.
Goodbye.
Good night. See you, Chad.
Bye.
All right. Send that thing over to me.